For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on Unlimited Welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on Unlimited Welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.
You feel like every day is an endless battle. You clash with your boss, argue with your family, and it seems like everything is against you. But let me tell you a secret. Nobody else is in this fight. It's not the world that's attacking you. It's not the noisy neighbor or the bad internet connection. Your real enemy is you. That voice in your head whispering, "You can't. You're not enough." That look in the mirror reflecting back doubts, fears, insecurities. How do you defeat an enemy that lives inside you? Every choice, every action, every thought is a strike in this fight. There are only two options. Own yourself or continue to be a slave to your fears. The Stoics taught us that the real battle is not against others, but against our own minds. Discipline over doubt. Action over excuses. This is how you regain self-confidence. Today I'll show you how the Stoics trained their minds as if they were a muscle, until they became unbreakable. Are you ready to awaken your true power? Stay until the end, because today you'll discover what you're made of. But first, let me tell you a story. The story of Mark, the blacksmith who refused to give up. For over 30 years, Mark had worked metal with his own hands, his hammer striking the anvil hard, forging tools, horseshoes, and swords. But what no one saw was how, with each strike, his spirit weakened a bit more. Fear ate at him quietly. Fear that his craft would disappear, that people would prefer industrial over handmade. Fear that his hands were no longer as steady. Fear that the world would leave him behind. Every day he felt more exhausted. Every order was a reminder of what he no longer was. Each strike on the anvil sounded like defeat. Until one day, something shook him. At the village market, he saw an old man sharpening knives with enviable precision. His hands, wrinkled by the years, remained firm, sure. Intrigued, Mark approached and asked, "Master, how do you keep doing this after so long?" The old man smiled calmly and told him, "A long time ago, I understood something few see. The mind is forged like iron. If you don't work it, it rusts. If you don't face it, it weakens. It's not age, nor luck, nor circumstances that stop you. It's you." The words struck Mark harder than any hammer on the anvil. But he still had one doubt. "Nowadays, anyone can buy knives in a store. Aren't you afraid that one day no one will need you?" The old man let out a slight laugh and replied firmly, "Knives are what I make now, but it's not the only thing I know how to do. What I know is worth more than any tool. As long as I have will, I will always find a way to move forward." That night, Mark couldn't sleep. He thought about all the times he had let his fears stop him, about all the excuses he had used not to try, about all the opportunities he had let slip away. And then he understood. It wasn't his age. It wasn't the competition. It wasn't the world. It was himself. The next morning, he did something he hadn't done in years. He lit his forge with determination, but this time, instead of repeating the usual, he dared to innovate. He learned new techniques. He explored modern designs. He approached traders and discovered that people valued what factories couldn't do. Unique pieces, with history, with soul. His biggest fear turned into his greatest advantage. His experience, his skill, his story, they were his true treasure. And so, little by little, his fear extinguished. Just like the iron when plunged into cold water. And you. How many times have you sabotaged yourself? How many times have you listened to that voice telling you that you can't, that you shouldn't, that it's too late? How many opportunities have you let pass because you believed you weren't ready? Today you'll learn how the Stoics forged an unbreakable mindset. How they trained their mind to withstand doubt, fear, and self-pity. Because the real battle is not against the world. It's against yourself. But friend, if you stick with me today, that changes. Before we continue, if this content adds value to you, subscribe and join our community. Share in the comments. What has been your biggest struggle with yourself, or simply write, I Stoic? Let's make this space a place where we can all grow and strengthen together. Lesson 1. Your worst enemy is not out there. I'm sure you've fallen into this trap, the trap of believing that the enemy is outside. You look around and think that the problem is the world, that if circumstances were different, that if people were more understanding, that if luck was on your side. Enough. Let me tell you something that will change the way you see life. Your worst enemy is not out there, it's inside you. And if you don't understand that now, you'll continue losing the battle every day. The mind is a double-edged weapon. It can be your best ally, or the executioner that sabotages each of your moves. It's that inner voice that holds you back, the one that fills you with doubts, the one that makes you question if you are good enough. It's not your boss, it's not society, it's not your past, it's you. But here's the interesting part. You can use this to your advantage. Think about Marcus Aurelius. Do you think that in the midst of war he told himself, I'm just not lucky. The world is unfair. People don't respect me. Of course not. He understood that the only real power we have is over our own mind. That's why he said, you have power over your mind, not external events. Realize this, and you will find strength. But most people do the opposite, and they blame fate. Their childhood, the economy, the neighbor's dog that won't stop barking. And so, they lock themselves in a cage without a key, because they never face the real enemy, themselves. Two men, the same battle. Imagine two soldiers in the same war. Both hungry, both cold, both exhausted. But while one keeps telling himself, this is unbearable, I can't take it anymore, why me? The other thinks, this is a test, an opportunity to demonstrate my strength. I will keep moving forward. Both live the same reality, but their minds create completely different worlds. The same happens to you. It's not the situation that defeats you, it's the story you tell yourself about it. The problem is not the obstacle, it's how you react to it. The Stoics understood this perfectly. He who masters his mind masters his life. And every time you think, I can't, every time you say, it's too difficult, every time you procrastinate, every time you doubt, you are weakening yourself. You are becoming your own worst enemy. Ask yourself this question. If your mind were a person, would you see it as your best ally or your worst enemy? Because if every time you try to improve, that voice tells you, you're not good enough, it's too late for you. What if you fail? Then you are living with an enemy that drags you into the abyss, day after day. But don't worry. Here's the solution. How to master your mind and win the battle. Question your negative thoughts. Don't believe everything your mind tells you. Every time a limiting thought appears, ask yourself, is this real or just fear disguised as logic? Do not negotiate with doubt. Every second you spend doubting is a second wasted. Don't give your mind time to sabotage you. Do what you need to do. Watch the words you use with yourself. If you want to be strong, speak to yourself like a leader. You wouldn't tell your best friend you're a failure, right? So why do you say it to yourself? Change it. Talk to yourself with respect, with determination, with confidence. Stoicism is not about eliminating emotions. It's about training the mind so it doesn't control you. So that when fear and doubt arise, you can face them and keep moving forward. Your greatest enemy, or your greatest ally. At the end of the day, there is no enemy more dangerous than the one living in your head. But now you know what the Stoics discovered centuries ago. If you master your mind, it will go from being your worst enemy to your best ally. The choice is yours. Lesson 2. Fear paralyzes you. Action frees you. Imagine you look at your phone. A missed call from your boss, a message that reads, urgent, we need to talk. You feel a knot in your stomach. Your mind starts to panic. What did I do wrong? They're surely going to fire me. How will I support my family? You begin to imagine all the worst-case scenarios. Your anxiety skyrockets. Minutes pass and you still haven't responded. The longer you wait, the larger the fear grows. But when you finally decide to call back, surprise, it wasn't anything bad. They just wanted to consult you before making a significant decision. Your boss wasn't against you. On the contrary, they value you. All that stress, all that mental drama, for nothing. Once again, there was nothing and no one attacking you. Just you, against yourself. And let's be honest, this isn't an isolated case. It happens over and over again. When we avoid a difficult conversation, when we put off an important decision, when we hold ourselves back from doing something we really want. Our brain convinces us that there's danger, when in reality, all there is uncertainty. And that made sense when we lived on the savannah surrounded by predators. But today there are no lions lurking in the darkness. And yet, we let fear paralyze us at every unforeseen event. I know what you're thinking. We're humans, we're programmed this way. And yes, you're right. But that's not an excuse to let fear dominate us time and again. The science of fear and uncertainty. Researchers at Columbia University discovered that when we don't know what's going to happen, our brain activates the amygdala, the region responsible for fear and anxiety. The more uncertainty, the more catastrophic stories we create in our minds. The problem is not the fear, it's the waiting. But there's more. The study also showed that as soon as we take action, the brain shifts focus. As Seneca said, we suffer more in imagination than in reality. The anticipation kills us more than the event itself. Think about it. Imagine you've never ridden a bike. You're terrified of falling, scraping yourself, making a fool of yourself. But you know there's no other way to learn. You get on, you pedal, and you fall. But here's the truth, nothing happens. The worst has already occurred, and you realize it wasn't that bad. You realize that the fear was just mental noise. The plan to conquer fear. Now tell me, how many times have you been about to act, and fear stopped you? How many times when you finally did it, did you realize it wasn't that bad? That's how fear works. The more you feed it, the bigger it gets. But as soon as you take action, it collapses like a house of cards. I know it's not easy. That's why here's a simple but effective plan. Countdown. When you feel fear, don't give your mind time to paralyze you. Count 3, 2, 1, and act. Break down the fear into small steps. If an action scares you, practice it in small doses. Speak in front of the mirror, write down what you would say, take the first step. Rewrite the story that fear tells you. When your mind says, "This is going to go wrong," change it to, "This is an opportunity to improve." It seems simple, but it works. Fear is trainable. It is conquered step by step, day by day, action by action. And it all starts with one decision. To not wait any longer. Lesson 3. Defeat the monster of doubt. How many opportunities have you missed because your own mind convinced you that you weren't capable? How many times were you one step away from trying, from taking that leap that would change everything? But at the last moment, that voice in your head stopped you. What if I fail? What if I'm not good enough? What if others judge me? Enough. That ends today. Doubt is a monster. It doesn't live in the real world, but in your mind. And like any monster, it feeds on your fear, your inaction, each time you decide not to face it. Imagine standing in front of a large golden door. You know that behind it lies an incredible opportunity. The promotion you've always wanted. The project that could change your life. The person you dream of talking to. But just before you open it, you see a shadowy guardian standing in front of you. It's not real, but its presence is immense. It tells you that you're not ready, that you're not enough, that if you fail, you'll regret it. You listen, you doubt, you step back, and the door never opens. What a waste, right? Let me tell you a story that I know very well, because I lived it myself. the opportunity I let slip away. Years ago, a guy had an incredible opportunity in his hands. His first big promotion at work. He had spent years working hard, proving his capability, preparing for when his moment came. And one day, that moment arrived. His boss called him into the office and made the proposal. "We want you to lead a new team. You've shown that you have what it takes." It was everything he had always wanted. The moment he had imagined so many times. But instead of saying yes right away, doubt crept in. What if I'm not ready? What if I fail? What if I disappoint everyone? So instead of accepting, he asked for time to think about it. He wanted to make sure he wasn't making a mistake. He wanted everything to fit perfectly before taking the step. The company waited. At first, patiently. They gave him a few days, and a week passed, and he still hadn't given a clear answer. It's not that he said no. But he didn't say yes either. And a company can't wait forever, so they made the decision for him and they gave the position to someone else. When he finally gathered the courage to accept, it was too late. The opportunity he had worked years for disappeared in a matter of days. It wasn't because he wasn't good enough, it was because he doubted himself, until there was nothing left to decide. And I confess something, that guy was me. It wasn't the world. It wasn't the competition and it wasn't bad luck, it was me. My own mind, my own doubt. The enemy that lived within me and defeated me. Don't make the same mistake. I tell you this story not so you feel sorry, but so that you don't make the same mistake. So that you stop being the obstacle separating you from the life you want. They say learning from one's own mistakes is good, but learning from others' mistakes is next level. The Stoics knew that doubt is the silent enemy of action, because often it's not a lack of skill that destroys a person, but a lack of confidence in oneself. Marcus Aurelius made it clear in his Meditations, "If it is within your power, why do you fear? If it is not within your power, why worry?" Don't worry about what you can't control, but above all, don't doubt what you can do. How to defeat the monster of doubt. The only way to beat it is to move before it grows. That's how I learned to silence that voice that paralyzed me. That's how I learned never to fail myself again. Here are two keys that made a difference. Don't give doubt time to strengthen. If you think too much, you'll lose. When the opportunity arises, count to three and take the step. Don't give yourself the luxury of being trapped in your mind. Act, even when you don't feel ready. Because you'll never feel entirely ready. Fear isn't overcome by thinking a lot. It doesn't disappear because you confront it with words. It disappears when you go through it, and believe me, once you take the first step, half the battle is already won. Don't rob yourself of your own victory. My friend, from the heart I tell you, don't be the one who robs yourself of what you deserve. Don't lose another battle against yourself. Today, the decision is in your hands. What are you going to do? Lesson 4. You are not what you say, you are what you do. If someone followed your steps for a month, someone who doesn't know you, who has never heard of you, could they guess who you really are? Could they see your goals, your deepest values? Or would they discover that what you say and what you actually do are two completely different things? It's a strange question, I know, but think about it for a moment. We all know someone who always talks about themselves, about their plans, about the changes they are about to make in their lives. But then months pass, years, and they are still in the same place. Words are easy. Actions are what truly build who you are. The difference between saying and doing. Imagine someone tells you they are a writer, but they have never written a single book, that they are an entrepreneur but have never started a business. That they are disciplined but haven't woken up early even once in the last month. What would you think of that person? The problem is that many confuse intention with identity. But let me tell you something clearly. You are not what you say, not even what you think. You are what you demonstrate with your actions day after day. And this isn't just philosophy, it's science. The science behind inaction. A study from New York University showed that the brain rewards intention more than action. When you talk enthusiastically about what you're going to do, dopamine is released, just as if you had already achieved it. That is, just by saying it, you already feel the reward, even if you do absolutely nothing. That's why there are people who live on plans, on ideas, on speeches about the future, but they never actualize anything. It's like someone who buys all the tools to build a house, studies the plans, tells everyone about how their future mansion will look, but never lays the first brick. Yes, initially their brain rewards them. It's the fleeting magic of dopamine. By thinking about it, they feel it is real. But what happens afterward? Nothing, the emptiness, the disappointment with oneself. Years later, the house remains just an idea in their head, because they never crossed the line between what they said and what they did, what the Stoics already knew. Long before science confirmed it, the Stoics understood this. Marcus Aurelius wrote it firmly. Waste no more time arguing about what a good man should be. Be one. Don't talk about discipline. Get up early. Don't talk about changing your life. Make the first change. Don't talk about your dreams. Work for them. Because in the end, life doesn't measure you by your words, but by your actions. A tree is not defined by the leaves it promises, but by the fruits it bears. And no one can say a tree is strong until it withstands a storm. How many times have you lied to yourself? Tell me, how many times have you fallen into that trap? How many times have you felt you were making progress just because you planned it, because you discussed it with someone, because you said it out loud? But in the end, you did nothing to back up your own promises. It's time to stop deceiving yourself. It's time to stop tripping yourself up. If you don't want it to happen again, there are two rules that can change everything. Two keys to living what you say. Do before you speak. If you want to exercise, train first and then talk about it. If you want to start a project, do it before you share it. Build habits, not intentions. Habits are the most powerful tool to transform your life. Don't think about what you will do someday. Decide what you will do today and do it. In the end, only one truth remains. You are not what you say you will do. You are what you did while others continued talking. The question is, what are you going to do today? Lesson 5. Dare even if you aren't sure. The world doesn't wait for the indecisive. Opportunities don't knock twice. They don't pause to ask if you feel ready. They don't wait for everything to fall into place in your mind. They just pass by. And if you don't seize them, someone else will. You don't need more certainty. You need to dare. Endless excuses. You probably have that relative who has always wanted to start a business. They talk about their ideas with excitement, they research, they plan, but they never make a decision. There's always something stopping them. It's still not enough. Maybe it's not the right time. Perhaps next year. They tell you every Christmas. And so months, years pass, and their project remains only in their head. Or that friend who dreamed of moving to another city, starting anew, meeting new people, building a different life, but every time they thought about it, they found a reason to stay. I don't know if I can find a job quickly. I don't know anyone there. And you, as you listen, only hear blah, 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 excuses. And indeed, a year later, they tell you the same thing. And nothing has changed in their life. What about you? Maybe the same thing is happening to you. Maybe fear has you tied up, and it's not letting you fulfill that dream you've been postponing for so long. Because let's be honest, it's easy to see it in others, but how hard it is to recognize it in ourselves. We like to think that clarity will come first, that one day we'll wake up with absolute certainty that it's time to act. But life doesn't work that way. Marcus Aurelius knew this when he said, "If you wait to always do the right thing, you'll miss many opportunities to do something." Epictetus also made it clear, "Don't explain your philosophy, live it." And that applies to anything in life. Stop telling yourself you'll do it when everything fits. Stop waiting for the perfect moment. Action is what will give you the answers you're looking for. The hardest truth. Here's a reality few are willing to accept. No one else is blocking your path. It's not.
For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.
Not a lack of opportunities. It's not the people around you. It's not life putting obstacles in your way. It's you. It's your fear. It's your indecision. It's your need for certainty. You are your own enemy, and the only way to win this battle is by daring, trusting yourself, even if you aren't sure. How to start without excuses. No, I'm not asking you to do something crazy. If you're afraid of heights, you don't need to go skydiving. Start small. If you want to change jobs, send out an application. If you want to learn a language, learn 10 words today. You don't need to see the whole path to start walking. Think of a runner advancing through thick fog and they can't see the end, but they see enough to take the next step. And all they have to do is keep moving. If indecision is holding you back, set a deadline to decide, because the mind will always find excuses to delay. If you don't set a date, you'll postpone it over and over. Keep it simple. If it's a small decision, give yourself an hour. If it's a major decision, give yourself 24 hours. Be reasonable. But don't give your mind all the time in the world to invent excuses. The big difference. The difference between those who achieve something and those who don't isn't talent. It's not that some have more clarity than others, it's that the former dare before they are sure. Seneca said it best. It is not because things are difficult that we do not dare. It is because we do not dare that things are difficult. The path only becomes clear when you start moving. Don't let doubt stop you. Now tell me, what is it that you've been thinking about doing for too long and haven't dared to do? Share your story in the comments. Let's try to support each other. This is about growing together. Lesson 6. Fear is an invention of your mind. An old fable tells of a distant village where the people lived in terror of a beast that dwelled in the hills. It was said to be enormous, with sharp claws and bright eyes that lurked in the darkness. No one had seen it up close, but the rumors passed from generation to generation. If you wander from the village at dusk, you will never return. This warning became an unquestionable truth. Out of fear, no one dared to cross the hills after sunset. Even if someone needed to see a sick relative or bring urgent supplies, they preferred to wait until dawn. The mere idea of encountering the beast was enough to paralyze anyone. Then one day a young traveler arrived in the village. Is the beast real? Hearing the stories, the traveler grew curious. How could a creature keep so many people trapped for years without anyone actually seeing it? That very night, while everyone else slept, he took a torch and headed for the hills. His steps echoed on the damp earth and his breathing was heavy. But he pressed on. And then he saw it. In the distance, among the shadows, two enormous eyes glowed in the dark. It was true what everyone said. There it was, crouched in the midst of darkness, the dreaded beast. The traveler's heart raced. His legs trembled. For a moment he felt the urge to run, but instead of fleeing, he advanced, step by step. The eyes kept watching him. He gripped the torch tightly, and when he was close enough, he lifted the light and uncovered the truth, the monster that never existed. There was no beast. The bright eyes were just two stones reflecting the moonlight. And the imposing silhouette of the creature was nothing more than the trunk of an old tree with twisted branches. The traveler stood still. He observed the absurd image. He thought of all the people in the village who had lived in terror for years, locked in their homes, depriving themselves of living. Over something that never existed. Was this it? Was this the monster that had dominated them for generations? The idea seemed ridiculous, but also chilling. Because the beast had not been real. But the fear was. Fear is a shadow you feed. Such is fear in our minds. A shadow that seems gigantic, dangerous, invincible. It paralyzes us without needing to attack. Because we are the ones who give it shape, who attribute to it a power it does not have. Marcus Aurelius made it clear, if something external troubles you, the distress is not due to the thing itself, but to your estimate of it, and you have the power to revoke this at any moment. But it's hard to see. We tell ourselves, I'm not ready. I'm going to fail. I won't be good enough. We see shadows and assume they are monsters, but they aren't. They are just excuses we set for ourselves. Beasts that our own minds invent. Learn to turn on the light. It has happened to you. You wake up in the middle of the night and all you see are menacing shadows. The wardrobe looks like a terrifying figure. The coat on the chair looks like a stranger watching you. But then you turn on the light, and everything changes. Nothing has changed except your perspective. The monster was never there. It was your mind that created it. And so it is with fear. It isn't real, until you decide to believe in it. And the only way to prove to yourself that it is just a shadow is to move towards it. How to disarm fear? If every time you feel fear you stop, you give it more power. If every time you doubt you avoid action, you strengthen the prison in which you lock yourself. So do the opposite. When fear whispers you can't, act immediately. Stop believing the stories your mind invents. Start writing the ending yourself. When the shadow seems too large, approach it until you see it for what it really is. A mere reflection of the darkness in your mind. Because in the end, like in the fable, you will discover that the beast was never there. It was just your mind playing at being a beast, and the chains that bind that beast have always been in your hands. Lesson 7. Change hurts, but not changing hurts more. Change. How painful, yet transformative it is. Have you ever stayed too long in a place knowing it's not where you want to be? The story of the eagle that refused to die. Once an eagle found itself at a crossroads as the years passed. Its claws no longer held the strength of youth. Its beak had curved too much, and its feathers had become so heavy that it could barely fly. It knew that if it didn't act soon, it would die. It had only two choices: surrender to decay, or undergo a painful process of transformation. It chose the latter. It flew to the top of a mountain and took refuge in a cave. There it smashed its beak against the rocks until it broke off completely. It patiently waited for a new, stronger, and sharper beak to grow. With it, it tore off its old claws. And when its new claws were ready, it plucked out one by one its heavy feathers. Months later, it emerged from the cave a renewed bird, ready to soar the skies with more vigor than ever before. Change hurts, but staying stagnant hurts more. The story is brutal, but the message is clear. Change hurts, leaving behind what you know, breaking away from what no longer serves you, letting go of the old to make room for the new. It's never easy, but what truly destroys is not the pain of change. It's the pain of staying where you no longer belong. We cling to comfort, to routine, to the familiar, even if it makes us unhappy, because change is frightening. We tell ourselves we'll do it tomorrow, that now is not the right time. But the truth is, it will never be the perfect moment. Seneca said it clearly. While we waste our time hesitating and postponing, life speeds by. Don't fight change, fight your fear. Here is the truth. You shouldn't fight against change. You should fight against your fear of failure. The voice that tells you that you can't. The version of yourself that settles for less. How much longer will you postpone the life you truly want? It's like wearing shoes that are too small. At first, it's a minor annoyance, but you endure it. Then the pain intensifies. Every step becomes a torture, yet you keep walking because changing shoes means stopping, enduring the discomfort of walking barefoot for a while. And so, without realizing it, you spend years enduring the pain, when all you had to do was take them off. The time to change is now. The same goes for that relationship that isn't working, that job you hate, that version of yourself that no longer fits what you want to be. You tell yourself that change will be hard, but staying where you are is even worse. If change overwhelms you, here are three essential rules that will help you trust in yourself. Break something today, not literally, but metaphorically. Break a habit. Break an excuse. break a belief that limits you. The version of you that you want to be cannot emerge if you cling to the old. Dare to do something that makes you uncomfortable. If the easy way worked, you would already have the life you want. Dare to do the hard thing. Dare to venture into the unknown. Not because it's safe, but because that's where you truly grow. Decide before you feel ready. The perfect moment does not exist. Success is not for those who wait for certainty. It is for those who act despite doubt. Are you going to continue enduring the pain of staying where you don't want to be, or will you dare to change? The choice is yours. And I, my friend, I believe in you. Lesson 8. Accept that no one will come to save you. Look around you. Do you see anyone holding a sign that says, "I'm here to fix your life"? No, and you won't see it. Since childhood, we've been taught that if something goes wrong, someone else will come to fix it. Parents, teachers, partners, the government, luck. There always seems to be someone or something to lean on. But when life truly hits hard, you realize a harsh reality. You are alone in this battle. It's a bitter pill to swallow, but necessary. Waiting for someone else to rescue you only leaves you more trapped, more entrenched in dependency. It's like being in the middle of the ocean with no land in sight, waiting for a boat to appear. You can spend your whole life staring at the horizon, or you can start swimming. The great do not wait, they act. Do you think Epictetus sat waiting for someone to give him his freedom? He was a slave, without rights and without opportunities, with no logical reason to believe he could change his fate. But instead of resigning himself, he trained his mind. He became stronger than his circumstances, and he ended up becoming one of the greatest philosophers in history. He didn't wait. He decided he was his own savior. The Stoics understood this centuries ago. Depending on others is a sentence. Marcus Aurelius put it bluntly. Look within. Within you is the wellspring of good. It can always spring up if you always dig. But we struggle to see it. We wait. We wait to be promoted at work without asking. We wait for perfect love to find us without lifting a finger. We wait for discipline to appear on its own and one day wake up motivated. But the truth is different. No one is going to push you and no one is going to solve it for you. And this is where the fight becomes personal. You against yourself. Against the voice that says you can't do it alone. Against the version of you that stays waiting instead of acting. If you keep waiting, how many more years will you lose? Have you ever seen a climber in the middle of a rocky wall? They can't wait for a magical ladder to appear. If they stop too long, their strength wanes and they fall. Their only option is to find the next grip with their hands and pull their own weight. So stop waiting for life to throw you a lifeline. Save yourself. How to start taking control? You don't have opportunities. Create them. No one is going to come knocking on your door with the offer of a lifetime. Go out there, learn, ask, move. Want that job? Send the resume. Want to start a business? Take the first step today. Don't wait for anyone's approval. Become someone who takes action. You don't have support. Prove that you don't need it. No one believes in you. Prove them wrong. The great names in history started alone. Without help. Without resources. But with something more important. An unbreakable determination. What are you going to do? Continue to lament. Or prove to yourself that you can. And no, I don't know what to do is not an excuse either. If you don't know where to start, start anywhere. But start. There is no perfect plan. What matters is taking the first step. You'll adjust the course along the way. But if you don't move, you'll stay exactly where you are now. The final truth. When you assume that no one will come to save you, you discover something incredible. You never needed it. Lesson 9. Replace complaining with responsibility. I know complaining is easy. Better yet, it's free and it requires zero effort, and for a few seconds it makes you feel better. So complaining seems like the perfect ally, right? The answer is no. Do you know why? Because there's something that complaining will never do for you. Solve your problems. Complaining is a trap. Think about it. Has anyone ever solved their life by complaining? Has anyone achieved success by saying, "It's not fair. Life treats me badly. I wish everything was different." We both know the answer. Complaining is a bottomless pit. You can spend years there motionless. And the more you complain, the more you justify your inaction. Because if everything is someone else's fault, the system, the economy, luck, then there's nothing to be done, right? But here's the reality. Nobody owes you anything. Life doesn't guarantee you success, recognition, or happiness. Everything you achieve will be because you decided to take responsibility for it. The Stoics knew this centuries ago. Don't take my word for it. Listen to Epictetus. It is the mark of an educated mind to blame no one for their failures, of one who is beginning to learn to blame themselves, and of the wise to blame neither themselves nor others. Get the idea? First you blame the world, then you blame yourself, but when you truly learn, you simply take action. Complaining makes you weak. You surely know someone like this. Life never smiles at them. Everything goes wrong, and they always have a reason to explain why. But of course, the reason is never themselves. They dislike their job, but instead of looking for something better, they say, "The market is terrible, no one is hiring." Their relationship is toxic, but they stay because all couples have problems. They want to improve their situation, but when someone suggests a change, they respond, "That's easy for you to say, but in my case, it's not that simple." There's always an excuse and there's always an external reason justifying why nothing changes. But you are not here for that. You are not here to watch life from the sidelines. You are not here for the world to decide for you. The difference between those who advance and those who stay stuck is simple. Those who advance take responsibility for themselves. Those who stay stuck just point out the problem and hide. It's like being in the middle of a storm with a broken umbrella. You can spend hours cursing the rain, saying it's not fair, that at another time of year it wouldn't have rained, or you can run to seek shelter. The storm won't change because you complain, but you can always do something about it. How to take control. The worst part about complaining is that it robs you of the power to change your life. It convinces you that there's nothing you can do, but that's a lie. If you hate your job, learn new skills and look for another. No one will offer you the job of your dreams without you doing anything. If you're not in shape, start training today, no excuses. Don't wait for Monday, don't wait for motivation. If a relationship is destroying you, get out. It won't improve by magic. It all boils down to one phrase: take responsibility for yourself. Yes, it will be hard. Yes, it will take time. But it's your life, and no one else is going to fix it for you. Stop complaining and do something. The next time you feel like complaining, ask yourself this: what can I do about it? If the answer is nothing, accept it and move on. And if there's something you can do, do it. Even if it's uncomfortable, even if it's hard, start right now. And if you don't want to do anything, stop complaining, because complaining without action is just a way to waste time. Life won't change because you lament, shout, or cry. It will only change when you decide to change. Lesson 10. Be the person you would trust. Let me tell you the story of two old friends, Daniel and Luis. They met in college. From day one, Luis was one of those people who lit up the room with his presence. Charismatic, full of ideas, always with big plans for the future. He had a way with words, could convince anyone his vision was bigger than most. "Brother, one day we'll start something together, we have to," he would tell Daniel every week. And for years, Daniel listened, supported him, believed in his words, because Luis had that contagious energy that made everything seem possible. But there was a problem. Luis talked a lot, but did little. Empty promises. When he had the idea for his first business, Luis proposed a meeting to organize everything, but he canceled it at the last minute. "My day got complicated, let's do it tomorrow." Spoiler, it never happened. When he wanted to travel across the ocean, he promised this time it was serious. But when it came time to plan, his enthusiasm waned and his list of excuses grew longer. Years later, Luis called his friend again. "This time I have a surprise for you." Daniel had a hunch, but Luis's enthusiasm was even greater than before, so once again, he believed him. The meeting was at a cafe at 8 a.m. Daniel arrived on time, ordered coffee, checked his phone. Minutes passed, and half an hour later, it happened again. Daniel checked his phone. A message. "Bro, I'm sorry, I'm not feeling well, we'll talk another day." Daniel sighed, closed the chat, looked out the window. He felt slightly angry, but not because Luis had stood him up. He felt something worse, disappointment, not about the supposed surprise that awaited, but because he realized something brutal. He couldn't trust someone who never keeps their word. "It seems simple, but now look at yourself, now tell me. It seems easy to understand, right? When someone doesn't keep their word, when they don't do what they say they're going to do, they're not trustworthy, they're not a good friend. Then why don't you see it as clearly when it's you doing it to yourself? If every time you promise yourself to do something, you put it off, how do you expect to trust yourself? If every time you tell yourself, today I'll go to the gym, you end the day with, well, it's late, better tomorrow. Do you think that does you any good? Would you do that to a friend? Trust is built with actions, not words. Seneca made it clear. Speech teaches, but examples pull. Now think about it. What do you think of that friend who always says they will stop eating junk food, but every day has a new excuse? Or that coworker who keeps bragging about achieving great things but never lifts a finger? From the outside, it's obvious they don't even take themselves seriously. The question is, are you becoming one of those people? This is where the battle becomes personal. Keeping your word to others is important, but keeping your word to yourself is even more so. Because when you betray yourself with excuses, when you promise yourself results but aren't willing to pay the price, you lose the most valuable thing you have, confidence in yourself. Epictetus stated it clearly, "Don't explain your philosophy, live it." Because trust is not built with words and it's built with actions. The ladder of trust. Confidence in yourself is like a ladder. Every time you keep your word, you climb a step. Every time you break it, you fall three steps. The only way to reach the top is to prove it with actions. Here are two keys to do it. Do what you say. No more excuses and no more "I'll start tomorrow." If you decide something, follow through. Not for others, for you. Face what makes you uncomfortable. Every time you avoid something difficult, you weaken your confidence. But when you face it, you prove to yourself that you can rely on yourself. And the best part is, it doesn't matter if you fail. What counts is that you dared to try. Stop betraying yourself. The key to leveling up in confidence is simple. Stop betraying yourself with empty promises. Talk to yourself as you would to someone you respect. Act like the person you would trust. Because if you don't trust yourself, it's because you've proven to yourself that you can't. But the good news is that can change. Start today. Be the person you would bet everything on without a doubt. Because when you do, there is no goal you cannot reach. The real battle. The real battle was never against the world, and it was never against circumstances or others. It has always been you against yourself. Against your doubts, against your excuses. Against the version of you that wants to settle for less than what you can really be. Every choice you've made up to now has built the person you are today. But every decision you make from here on out will define who you will become. What are you going to do? Will you continue to fall into the same traps? Letting your mind hold you back? Letting fear paralyze you? Letting inaction consume you? Or are you going to take control and prove to yourself that this time it's different? If you've made it this far, write in the comments, "I am my best ally." That way I'll know who the stoic soul warriors are that made it to the end. Don't forget to subscribe, activate notifications, and like the episode so you don't miss what's coming next. Also, I invite you to explore our past episodes. They're filled with ideas, stories, and advice designed to help you face life with greater wisdom and confidence. Click and let's keep moving forward together. Until our next talk, take care and keep embracing your stoic inner self.
Thank you.
For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.